It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Oh, have I got some tickets today that you're going to want? Tell you about that shortly. I hope your weekend was a dry one. I was, you know, expecting the animals to line up two by two here in Fresno, and I didn't see any sign of it. So I suppose that's a good thing. But according to our weather guys, whoever they may be, you know, it's not over yet. Got flood watches up until 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. So I repeat, if all hell breaks loose, spent all day telling you this Thursday and Friday of last week, we are here to serve. Just make sure you understand that. And we'll help you out any way we can. We're getting pretty good at it. Especially when I've been here for, what, almost 36 years. I've led you through a number of disasters. Yeah. Well, welcome to the Appleton program for another week on KMJ. Joe Biden must be seeing pigs flying in the Oval Office because he's just approved a very controversial major oil project in Alaska. We need this in the petroleum-rich Northwest Slope. This is going to be Biden's most costly climate choices. It's likely to draw all kinds of condemnation from environmentalists who said, you know, this flies in the face of the Democratic president's pledges before he was elected. But it's something that has to be done. We have to develop our own oil independence. Look at the condition of the world right now. This is the Willow Oil Project, if you're keeping score. So I'll give you the details. It looks like it's a done deal. It's very important for these times. Very important. And for those folks on the hard left and the environmental types, get a life. You know, I mean, pay attention to what's going on in the world, because we need to do this. We need to do this. And those on the left better be watching out, because the Republican Congressional Committee has released a list of vulnerable Democratic members in the Congress, the House, it seeks to unseat in 2024. Do we have anybody here in California that has a red dot between their eyes? And I don't mean that literally, of course. Josh Harder, that's one. Representative Mike Levin, that's another. And the seat held by Katie Porter, she's being targeted, but she's also going to be running for Senate to replace Dianne Feinstein. Mr. DeSantis looks like he's getting ready to roll out a presidential takeoff. He's pushing what has been called the strongest illegal immigration reform of any state in the union prior to this 2024 election. And again, this has been called the country's strongest crackdown on illegal immigrants by a state. And why? This one, we've been through this before. Remember Lehman Brothers? Why do banks go under? Why can't they see the handwriting on the wall? As you know, Silicon Valley Bank here in California collapsed last week, and now the shares of First Republic Bank tanks this morning at about 60%. This was in pre-market trading. This is a regional bank now trying to shore up any concerns about its stability. This is something that I don't know that I genuinely understand. I mean, Silicon Valley Bank was hit on a run by tech heavies and venture capitalists. Why, I'm not sure. And even though the FDIC insures everything up to $250,000, that still leaves a lot of people holding on, you know, the bag for a lot more. So we got to watch this closely. You know, the president's out there letting everybody know that our banking system is safe. Yeah, hope so. Had about 1,000 illegals trying to storm the El Paso International Bridge in an attempt to enter the country. This was all thwarted by Border Patrol. And why did they do this? This was because of bogus information from a Facebook post that, you know, if anybody showed up at a certain time on a certain day, if they had children, they would be allowed into the USA. It was just patently untrue. And it's caused a real ripple south of us here in Central California, down on the border. And sometimes, don't I know, comedians don't know when to stop. Jimmy Kimmel, who did the Oscars last night, is being called by many this morning a national disgrace. He's being bashed for his treatment of a Nobel Peace Prize winner. I don't know if you're aware of the story, and if I have the time, I'll lay it on you. It has to do with the Taliban, a Taliban shooting survivor. It's a documentary that was called A Stranger at the Gate that was nominated for an Oscar. This girl, her name is Malala. She was only 15 when she was shot in the head while being hunted down by Taliban in Pakistan. And what Gimmel said, Jimmy Kimmel, doesn't make a lot of sense in an attempt to be funny. It was just over her head, and it was meaningless, yes, but it was still offensive considering who this was. You know, I'll make sure I get to this, and you can judge the man. The clocks. The rumors are this is the last time we've sprung forward for daylight savings time. Marco Rubio has reintroduced the Sunshine Protection Act of 2023, which will make daylight savings time permanent. Permanent. And eliminate the old, you know, fall back and fall clocks. All right. Now, you're aware of what, you know, the nation went through yesterday, obviously. Daylight savings time for most of the country is 8 months long. Standard time is only 4 months long. So if it's standard, why if it's standard if it's less than, maybe it's semantics, but yeah. I think I've long believed it's time to do this. But every time we bring this up on the air, whoo, we get like mixed results deluxe. There's not a majority on this one. I mean, at least I can't recall that there has been. And we've talked it a lot in the past, haven't we? Speaking of things we've talked about a lot in the past, minimum wage in California, a ballot measure for 2024 that could push the minimum wage up to $18 an hour. Do we have to go there again today? How many times have we had this conversation? I mean, the people behind this, the sentiment behind this, is it's being caused by inflation and it's not, you know, a viable way to make a living. Yeah, the minimum wage has never been a living wage. You know, there are people who are trying to change the definition of this and succeeding. It's not a living wage. It's an entry-level wage. And look, here we're fighting that here in California. We could be. At the same time, Gavin Newsom's California is pushing billions in reparation payments as the state faces that, what I just mentioned, and a huge deficit disaster. California, as you know, I've told you this ad nauseum, you know, has never allowed slavery. But we're considering giving hundreds of billions of dollars to black residents in reparations as a way to make amends for slavery. And it raises a very practical question to all of us, black, white, brown, about a state, you know, already facing a major deficit, budget deficit, how they could swing such an expensive program, and the numbers just don't add up. And then minimum wage gets pushed up again. On top of that, it's, yeah, my hair is getting grayer than it normally is. You know what's going on in the Senate, right? John Fetterman, new senator from Pennsylvania, former lieutenant governor, he's out, sick, mental problems, depression. Dianne Feinstein has not been there, frail with age. It's created a 49-49 split in the chamber and forces members of the conference only to bring up votes that they know that they have to have bipartisan support on. It's called all kinds of problems at a committee level, but maybe that's not a bad place to be in the Senate under the current circumstances in this day and age. Maybe they get nothing done. That might be all right, you know? What have I got to give away today? It's good stuff. Comedy phenom. Jeff Dunham, greatest ventriloquist in the world, highest paid comedian in the world, is coming to Fresno March the 23rd. And we want to send you. So you just listen all week today to win tickets for Jeff Dunham's Still Not Canceled Tour. Tickets, of course, provided by the Save Mart Center. He's funny. I mean, he's genuinely funny. 490-5858. That's not funny. That's a phone number. 800-776-5858. If you want to participate in the program today. Otherwise, I just do it by myself. Anyway, I'm glad you're here. Happy Monday. Let's go, Mrs. KMJ.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone's senior writer, Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
The Ray Appleton Podcast.
It's free.
KMJNow.com.
I don't know if I'd go that far. Living legend. Come on. The radio station certainly is. I mean, we've got this big documentary coming up for our 100th anniversary, which is fast, but this is all about it. And it's going to be airing on Valley PBS March 30th at 7 p.m. It's good. I'm telling you, it's really, really good. I think March is our anniversary year, technically. So I think we're coming up on 101 right about now. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's right. Bailing out banks. Good idea, bad idea. There's not going to be any bailout, according to Janet Yellen, for the Silicon Valley Bank. But there's a hero, a Superman, standing in the wings wanting to take it over. But she said yesterday, no bailout for the SVB, appearing on Face the Nation. Yellen said the government would assist regulators in helping, you know, to protect depositors. But she made it clear there would be no bailout for this major, major tech bank. Is a biggie. Quote, let me be clear that during the financial crisis, there were investors and owners of systematic large banks that were bailed out. And the reforms that have been put in place means that we're not going to do that again. So I guess that was a bad idea the first time. But we are concerned about depositors who are focused on trying to meet their needs. You know, asked whether the government might bail out the banks as it did during the 2008 crisis. They wouldn't let her off the hook on this one. We're not going to do that again, she said. We're concerned about the depositors, and that's where it needs to stay. Okay, fine. There's about 85% of the accounts that were uninsured. Now, how could that have happened? And the commentator of the program asked Yellen whether she thought the depositors would be paid back in full. And she wouldn't disclose specific details, but said the government is very aware of the problems that the depositors are going to have. Many of them are small businesses that employ people across the country. And, of course, this is a significant concern in working with regulators trying to address the concerns. But, again, 85% of the accounts were uninsured. So Silicon Valley Bank announced a $1.75 billion share sale on Wednesday. Now, this was after the financial institution suffered some very heavy losses from liquidating a $21 billion bond portfolio, raising concerns among venture capital firms and startups with ties to companies about, you know, the safety of their assets. And again, this is hard stuff to understand. SVB, the 16th largest bank in the country and the largest in Silicon Valley, lends to nearly half of the venture-backed technology and healthcare companies. Ouch. And the Fed, the FDIC, said on Friday that SVB was closed by the California Department of Financial Protection and Innovation. I like that innovation on there. You know, and insured depositors will have full access to funds by Monday morning. According to a press release from the government-backed firm, while uninsured depositors can expect an advance dividend, you know, sometime next week. Not even sure what that means, but at the time of the closing, though, the amounts of the deposits are in excess of the insurance limits, and it was undetermined. Right? So the FDIC went on to say the amount of the uninsured deposits will be determined once the FDIC obtains additional information from the bank and its customers. I mean, there obviously has to be a record of deposits, so I don't think that's going to be that big of a deal. But it's been reported that depositors would initially receive 30 to 50% of their money today, most of the rest in time, whatever that means, citing sources familiar with the matter. Now, the implosion of SVB is going to mark the largest bank failure since Washington Mutual went down, and I think that was 2008. Correct me if I'm wrong, please, during the Obama years when Washington Mutual went down. With regard to potential failures at other banks, Yellen, Treasury Secretary, argued that one of the bank's troubles don't necessarily mean similar problems for another. A lot of people are worried that there's a domino thing that's going to be happening here. And it's going to click, click, click. A lot of these things are going to go down. Banks. And she says, with, you know, supervision and regulation, it's going to help prevent the contagion. Her word, not mine. So what do you make of all this? I mean, is it just going to stop there, or are we going to see some sort of domino reaction to this in the state of California? I mean, the administrations of the former presidents, G.W. Bush, Barack Obama, previously introduced government bailouts for commercial and investment banks during the Great Recession of 2008, which, you know, during which financial institutions were overexposed to subprime mortgages. I think most of you, you know, remember what happened there. Rod, you're on KMJ. Go for it. Hi.
Hi, Ray. You know, the press has been, the president came out and said that this was Trump's fault, and nothing could be further from the truth. If you read the Wall Street Journal this morning, this problem was caused by the Fed raising interest rates, which was caused by inflation. So if Trump was the reason we have inflation, that was his fault. That's his Biden. So what has happened here was the tech companies made so much cash that they had to deposit it in the banks. And hang me with it there. The banks need to make a profit with that money, so they have to lend it out. Well, they couldn't lend it all out. There was too much cash, so they had to invest it. So what did they invest it in? They invest it in U.S. Treasuries, a safe investment, right? As long as you hold it until it matures, which may be 10 years, 15 years.
All right, I'm glad you included that because they have to mature. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So the feds raise interest rates, and when interest rates rise, the price of bonds fall, okay, because you've got a bond at 10 years at rate paying 2%. You can get a new one that pays 3%. You don't want that 2% anymore, so it falls in value. So the tech companies see this and say, hey, man, our bank here, their assets are worth less than our deposits. We need to get our deposits out. So that's what caused the run on the bank, is they screwed up and bought all these treasuries instead of just holding it on in cash and not worrying about making a profit. I hope that's not too complicated, but that's about the simplest I can make it.
Oh, I appreciate that. I appreciate it. You sound like you know a bit more than I do, Rod. Thank you. We do have some news coming up. Tony, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, Ray, this is a big, big deal. It's like Lehman Brothers, remember, from the subprime crash?
Yeah, I brought that up. Yeah.
This is going to have wide-ranging things, and it's totally and completely historical and will be the subject of many, many books because it discloses and undiscloses and exposes the venture capitalists in San Francisco that have taken advantage of free money for all these years and have been able to fund companies in the $40, $60, $80, $100 million range that aspired to be on the stock exchange and become parts of big pharma or big tech. So it's enormously important. And the bank was worth $230 billion, the biggest bank you've never heard of. And we had to save it because the entire system was in jeopardy of falling because of it. That's the subject of all that free money, Congress. That's the result of it, and they all know it, Ray, and I'm very sorry to say it, but please, dear God, read about it in Zero Hedge in particular. There are about five articles already up, and you'll be able to read about the scandal that this really is, and you'll see that only 7% of the people in the bank were actually depositors. The rest were elite San Franciscans and venture capitalists who were some of the smartest business people on the entire planet that have been bailed out now. It's worth the whole book, so I'll just leave it at that, but it is right. Beyond huge, Ray. Really, it is. Glad you have gold.
Got to move on. I'm running close on time. Before we get to news, let me just include this. Elon Musk, of course, says he's open to the idea of buying Silicon Valley Bank, but what does that mean to current depositors, if anything? I mean, he seems to be there picking up the pieces on a lot of things. Does he have any liquidity that he'd be able to do that? Buy it with what? I mean, he leveraged the hell out of Tesla to buy Twitter. Now he's going to leverage the hell out of Twitter to buy, you know, this bank and work with some of the same venture capital. I doubt it, but there's something just a little weird about that. But he says he's open to the idea of purchasing the bank, which obviously, if you just tuned in, was shut down Fridays by regular, last Friday by regular due to a run on deposits. Why would he do this? Why? He's coming, he's bringing a business back to California. Some of the individuals in social media and Twitter have supported the idea. Tesla investors have, you know, they've expressed reservations. I just don't know what he sees in that that is going to be worth, you know, bailing out with his money or taking over with his money. And what is there going to be to take over? And this is where it gets way beyond my comprehension. Gets a little heady for me, you know. Any further comments, though? Oh, we'll talk a little bit more about Elon Musk after the news, but phone numbers are 490-5858. Does Elon see something that I'm missing here? 800-776-5858. You know, there are receivers in charge of the bank now, right? And that may, you know, cause access to deposits to be severely delayed. So when would this thing be up for, you know, quote unquote, taking over, if indeed it can be taken over? Right? And I'm no expert, believe me. I may be talking in circles here. I've got to be honest with you.
The Ray Appleton Podcast, right now. KMJNow.com.
Hey, if you're just joining us, we're talking about the crash and burn on Friday of Silicon Valley Bank and maybe Elon Musk saying he's open to taking it over, whatever that means. I do have some numbers here, but first let's grab a phone call. John, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Ray.
Hi.
After Biden gave his speech this morning and blamed Trump, I did a little bit of research, and I couldn't find any banks that closed down during Trump's 4 years as president.
There weren't any.
Yeah, and also all of the businesses and people that went into bankruptcy during the shutdown, should they get a bailout?
Oh, you mean during the pandemic?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well.
I never thought the first bailout should have happened when we gave those banks $300 billion. But you watch. Biden's going to find a way to find some money to pay all these jet setters in Silicon Valley.
It wouldn't surprise me, John, thanks. And I wasn't surprised by, you know, Biden's blind side of, you know, Donald Trump and anything that he can do to take the focus off of him. But let's go back a little bit. It was last week, March 8th, the bank announced the loss of, I think it was $1.8 billion from a sale of investments. And these, I checked, the U.S. Treasuries and mortgage-backed securities, all right? So the bank's holding company, same day, said it was holding a capital raise. And despite the bank being in sound financial condition prior to March 9th, investors and depositors reacted by initiating withdrawals of $42 billion in deposits from the bank on March 9th, causing a run. And as the close of business on March the 9th, the bank, listen to this, the bank had a negative cash balance of approximately $958 million. Now, despite the attempts by, you know, this bank on its last legs, with the assistance of regulators to transfer collateral from various sources, the bank didn't meet the cash, it's, you know, its cash lettered with the Federal Reserve. And the deposit withdrawal has caused the bank to be incapable, I guess, of paying its obligations as they come due. And so now the bank, boom, is obviously insolvent. Now, prior to the collapse, again, I want to mention, this was the 16th largest bank in the USA. And that's according to U.S. Federal Reserve data. Shows the bank had $209 billion in assets as of New Year's Eve. Co-founder, CEO of Razer, a fellow by the name of Ming-Ling Tang, a company that sells gaming computers and peripherals, tweeted, "I think Twitter should buy SVB and let it become a digital bank." And that's where Elon Musk jumped in and said, "I'm open to the idea. A digital bank." a digital bank. I'm saying that because I'm trying to figure out what that would be in my head. Another phone call. Mark, it's all yours. Hi.
Hi, Ray.
Yeah.
Yeah, that last caller just said he couldn't find any information on Trump closing any banks when Trump was president. Tell him to do a Google search, and he will see that 16 banks closed between 2017 and 2020.
Of the same circumstances as SVB?
I don't know what the circumstances were, but 16 banks closed during Trump's presidency.
Okay, well, that's very possible. Thanks. But it wasn't based upon what happened to this bank, you know, with this diluted capital and individuals making runs on banks. 16 banks probably closed because they merged with other banks. I'll check it out myself, but nothing like this happened during the Trump administration, where they had to call in Treasury and do all of this stuff that they're doing now, which is not going to amount to a hill of beans. But anyway, I just wanted to get to that point about why Elon Musk, as he's open to the idea of taking the bank. And it was this co-founder and CEO of Razer, a company that sells, you know, gaming computers and the rest, tweeting, "I think Twitter should buy SVB and it become a digital bank." And he says, "I'm open to that." So I'm not sure what a digital bank would be. And again, a lot of this stuff is way beyond me. Now, here in California, I just have to bring this up. I'm not going to go into a chapter and verse, but everybody knows we're trying to pay reparations in this state. California, which never allowed slavery, is nonetheless now considering giving hundreds of billions of dollars to black residents in the way of reparations as a way to make amends for slavery, raising a lot of practical questions about how a state already facing a massive, massive budget deficit is going to be swinging such an expensive program. I don't even know why they're speculating this. I don't even know why they're talking about it. The numbers aren't there. It's the California Reparations Task Force, which was created by state legislation in 2020, is weighing this proposal to dole out just under $360,000 a person to approximately 1.8 million black Californians who had an ancestral enslaved background. They'd have to prove that. I still don't know how you do that. Putting the total cost of the program at about $640 billion. Now, when we're looking at a disastrous budget deficit, where do you get an additional $640 billion? Now, the California Secretary of State, Shirley Weber, who wrote the bill creating the task force when she served in the state assembly, said this last week: "If Californians can admit the sins and change the narrative, then there's a way forward for states and cities across the nation." The way forward for what? You still have to find the money. And as it is, even the Fed is admitting it's very unclear how Fed is going to pay for such an extensive project. Very unclear how the state is going to pay for that kind of a project. That's what the Fed is echoing back to California. And the governor who signed the bill, creating the task force and appointing most of its members, announced in January that the state features a projected budget deficit of $22.5 billion for the coming fiscal year. I just have all kinds of great financial news today, don't I? God almighty. And a lot of this, you know, has been brought about by Biden's inflation. Period. End of statement. Over. This is what's causing it. Oh, Dr. Penvera, where are you when I need you the most? Break time at KMJ. Further comments, and then we're going to move on. 490-5858 and 800-776-5858. It's Ray Appleton. I'm Ray Appleton. I'm not an it, but I'll be right back.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Right now,
the Valley's legendary Ray Appleton.
The Ray Appleton Podcast, KMJNow.com.
So, here in California, we've got a banking crisis of sorts with the Silicon Valley Bank folding on Friday of last week. There's more in the news today about the $18 minimum wage ballot measure for 2024. You know, the old Living Wage Act of 2022 is qualified, you know, by the Secretary of State for next year's ballot. We've talked about that a lot. And I'm probably going to talk about it again. And then we have, you know, all of this imaginary money being used to pay reparations. And you wonder why people are leaving the state of California. Of all people, Eminem figured it out.
You with Slim Shady, and I'm here to say I'm getting mad about this trend today. People leaving California, headed for Nevada, but bringing all their politics, man, it's a lot of drama. What happened to the Golden State? The place to be. Now everyone's leaving. What the hell do they see? Maybe lower taxes or housing's cheaper, but bringing all their politics, man, that's getting deeper. We don't need your left or right, just let us be. Stop polluting our state with your ideology. We've got enough problems, we don't need more. So take your politics back and shut the damn door. I'm sick of all the BS, just leave us alone. Don't bring your drama to our peaceful home. California's for the bold and the brave. So take your politics and go find another state to save.
Okay. Observant young man, right? So, you know, the Living Wage Act of 2022. See, we're changing the whole narrative now because minimum wage is not a living wage. It's an entry-level wage, period. But that's what the left wants to do. They want to change the whole narrative, all the semantics, the labeling, all of that, of what the minimum wage is all about. And by its design, this is an entry-level wage designed to give you one leg up on the horse, and then you got to do the rest. But no, here in California, we want to make sure that if it's the lowest of all jobs, you can buy a house, you can buy a car, you can support 10 kids. So should it pass, the measure would extend the phased increases implemented in 2017, I think, by bringing in the second highest in the nation statewide minimum wage, up to $18 an hour. The last bump under the, you know, phased increases to the minimum wage was in 2022. And the inflation, you know, becoming the driver of the baselines this year. So all of a sudden, this is a very big deal. As of January 1st of 2023, minimum wage became $15.50 per hour for all employers. But it's push, push, push. And that's the danger of the initiative system. People will always vote the largesse of the state for themselves, regardless of how it acts upon the overall economic, you know, formula, standards, mix of that particular, you know, state. We've seen it happen a dozen times in California. Mamma mia. Craig, you're on KMJ.
Yes, I don't know if you saw this, but according to the news late last night, around midnight before I went to sleep, there was a bank that failed last night called Signature Bank.
Yeah, I mentioned it in my monologue, right?
Okay, I didn't hear that. All right, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Tracy, you're next.
Yeah, Ray, you know, I think that you, when you talked about the minimum wage, I'm gonna go full circle to the banks in just a second. But when you have 62% of the federal income taxes being paid by 1% of the people, you've got an organization called the collective governments extorting money from the very top, and then you combine that with a bank who probably had a bunch of money that they were trying to figure out what to do and put their money, I think you've mentioned it before, in what they thought were relatively safe bonds, only to turn around and see the federal government raise the interest rates, which they had to do. The bank made a calculated error, no question about it, but that bank failed because of the fact that their bonds plummeted and people were running on the banks to put their money into savings bonds, which are basically, or into treasury bills, which are basically being used to fund the federal government, or at least part of it, to give more money to the lower 50% who are paying virtually no taxes whatsoever. So if you're going to, you know, when you have a system where the people who have one vote and are not paying any taxes, and they represent a larger percentage of the people that, you know, that don't actually pay as much into the system is going to break. So the banks made a mistake, no question. They shouldn't have put that, you know, their asset base, a lot of it into 2.5% bonds, only to watch it, you know, go up. That's what failed the bank. And that's all on Joe Biden. That's on the trillions of dollars of extra spending that they made. The caller talked about how banks failed under Trump. That's, you know what, banks fail, a few banks fail all the time, but not to this degree. And it's all because of the federal government.
Yeah, I don't differ on that at all. Thank you. Boy, you guys are all over the place with your suggestions and comments today. Lawrence, welcome to KMJ. You're on.
Yeah, I was listening about giving out the raises for the state of California.
Yeah.
I worked for Kilpatrick's up in Oakland. We had five unions. No, four unions in the bakery. Every 3 months, the bread price went up 3 cents to cover the wages.
Mm-hmm.
And with me, you know, looking at people wanting raises, the price of everything is going up. So if people quit asking for raises, stuff would stop going up. Would that be right or not?
No, that's, you're 100% correct. As far as the minimum wage goes, it's hyperinflationary. The price of everything goes up. It happens every time that it happens with the minimum wage. So if the minimum wage goes up to $18 based upon this ballot measure in 2024, and you're going to have that same segment of people, and I mean that an economic segment, singing, ding dong, the witch is dead, whoop-de-doo, we can pay our bills now. You give it 6 months down the road and everything comes up to meet that price, that cost of the minimum wage. They're not earning any more money. It's just the way it is. Thank you, Lawrence. Got time? Yes? No? No, don't. If you folks stay on the line, I'll grab you at the beginning of the next hour. Carl and company, everybody stay there. Phone numbers 490-5858. 800-776-5858. Talking all things California at the moment, you know, the reparations project, the minimum wage going up to $18 in 2024, if it's voted in that direction, and the failure of the bank, Silicon Valley Bank, on Friday. That's a mess. We'll be right back for hour number two of the Appleton program. Stay here.
It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Sent me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.